Hello, buddy. Hope you're doing canny. I'm about to make a video about Gated FC, the club I support, which is something I hoped I'd never have to do. For those who don't know, I'm Mike Cow. I write about politics, make podcasts. You might have heard the Milk Cow podcast or the Cow Daily podcast. I'll tell you what else I do at the end of the show as well, and it might be relevant to the offer that we'll make. Anyway, what I feel like we need to do is break down what's actually happening in terms of how money works in the UK in terms of block grants. It comes from central government and comes down through local authorities. From the jump, people who watch my content, who read the things that I write, know I've got no love for the Labour or Conservative Party. So let's get that off from the jump. I just believe truth's important, definitely when it comes to the club. Anyway, this from the Journal for people who don't know what's happened. Shock as club is denied chance to reach the league. Authorities say stadium issue rules them out. There's some good news, though. You can get £5 off at Dobby's Garden Centre up the top. Cheers, Journal. Anyway, Mark Crothers, a peerless non-league writer in the Northeast for sure. Excellent work he does. Anyway, check him out. Break in. Gated Council respond to the EFL statement confirming Gated FC cannot participate in the National League playoffs over an issue with the 10-year security of tenure at the International Stadium. There's a stadium there. We all know what it looks like. So anyway, since 2010, Gated Council has faced significant reductions in its block grant. The council has had to make budget cuts totaling £207.5 million over the last 14 years, which is equivalent to almost 68% of its net revenue budget. This has resulted in Gateshead having £1,050 less to spend per resident compared to 2010. These cuts have necessitated a range of savings measures and the use of reserves to address the funding gap. The block grant comes from Westminster. Westminster has been controlled by the Tories since 2010. When people talk about austerity, this is what they mean. UK austerity refers to government policies aimed at reducing national deficit through spending cuts and tax increases affecting public services and welfare initiated post-2008 financial crisis. It's marked by significant debate over socioeconomic impact. I'm going to detail what that means for Gateshead locally, the council budget, and on a national level in terms of comparison, so you can see that this is a national thing. So anyway, this has meant the Labour-controlled council has had to make savings as detailed above. If it's a choice between social care versus our stadium, it is, then we aren't getting our stadium. This is because of the Conservative Party in government, as you can see by the figures presented. I'm going to present some more as well. So this is the state of play currently for the stadium that we know about anyway publicly. Gateshead International Stadium's ownership status. The ownership, the stadium may transition to private management due to budget constraints faced by Gateshead Council. Council's action, an external contractor sought to operate the council's sports facilities, including the stadium. We've just seen the transfer of Gateshead Leisure Centre go over this week as well. Financial details, the council anticipates a £50 million deficit over 5 years. The stadium requires £4 million in repairs and £11 million to operate over the next decade. This is the key thing, actually, in terms of the decisions that had to be made. Anyway, public disclosure. This situation was publicly disclosed on the 22nd November 2023. Some of the UK councils declared bankrupt in the last year. Birmingham, Slough, Croydon, Thurrock, Woking and Nottingham. That's not Gateshead yet. I don't know what the situation is. So anyway, just as a comparison with Gateshead, Birmingham City Council, budget shortfall since 2010, £760 million. Population, 1,141,374. Shortfall per head, 665,048. Woking, budget shortfall, 1.2 billion. Population, 101,167. Shortfall per head, £2,857.14. Gateshead, budget shortfall, 207.5 million. Population, 197,722. Shortfall per head, 1,050. Just to give you a few examples, which I feel are quite important. There are a variety of different parties, Labour and the Tories, who are managing those councils. So you can see it doesn't actually matter when the money comes down from Westminster. It's the best way of putting it is this. If your housing budget, which everybody's budget, like during cost of living, has reduced massively, we're not going to be able to spend on certain things. You know, it's just a fact. And if we're going to have to, like, by law, spend on certain things, as we'll detail later, then we're not going to be able to spend on sport and leisure. Anyway, just on some rumours, this is now again Sean. Sean's a lad who follows my social media. Heard that the email from council sat in the club's junk mail email and was missed, causing it not to be submitted before the deadline. Asked for a source. I don't know if that's true or not, but what we know is this. This is from North East Heritage Library. Thanks to them for the link. This provides context in a nutshell. So what you see on the screen says this. These are from legal documents, and I'll link the source next. I was on 5th of April 2024 provided with a number of additional documents. I consider it appropriate that I should take the contents of these documents into account when making my decision. These are a letter from Gateshead Council to GFC dated 28th of March 2024. This states that insofar as it is able to, and on condition that GFC gains a promotion to the AFL, GC is committed to afford Gateshead Football Club with security of tenure for a minimum of 10 football seasons, i.e. from GFC's 2024 season up to and including GFC's 34-35 season. Gateshead Council has granted the GFC a two-year licence, which can be renewed on a rolling basis. However, this is subject to Gateshead Council no longer operating the stadium, in which case it shall have the right to give GFC 12 months' notice to vacate. I confirm that I've taken the full contents of this letter account. B, an email chain between GFC and the AFL, in which the AFL have considered the contents of the GC letter, states, while this is a positive development, unfortunately, it is not enough to satisfy the league that the qualifying criteria has been met. We would need to see something more formal and binding, i.e. a lease license agreement between the club and the council documenting the 10-year security of tenure. Even if in draft form for now, given we know the council's looking to sell the site, we would expect this to include an assignment clause to ensure the lease license continues under any new ownership. The council appears to be okay with this. As to the ongoing arbitration, we are not in a position to dispense with this. Ultimately, the league's decision concerned the qualifying criteria by the deadline on the 1st of March 2024. The club was not able to do so. We must ensure that we apply the rules consistently. We'd only be in a position to give this further consideration if we had a binding agreement. And even then, the matter would have to be referred to the board, given we are well past the deadline. So that's what we know so far. That's the link there. It's got the URL at the top. So if you want to go and read the whole thing yourself, go for it. Anyway, just moving on. So anyway, talking about a legal budget, like what would potentially be asking the Gateshead Council to do is submit an illegal budget. What that means is if a UK council submits an illegal budget, it risks legal action, financial instability, and government intervention. This has happened in Liverpool, actually. Public trust in the council's reputation could also be significantly damaged. Statutory services, this means things they have to provide legally. Sport and leisure is not one of them. Statutory services that must be provided include education, social care for children and adults, waste collection, housing, road maintenance, and libraries. These are essential for community well-being. So anyway, health and social consequences of austerity. The benefits are wealthier individuals and corporations. Why? Austerity policies led to cuts in welfare, social services, and healthcare budgets, impacting the most vulnerable. Life expectancy stopped growing, and for women in poor areas, it actually fell. Additional spend on social care was more effective in saving lives than equivalent healthcare spending. So anyway, this is what we're interested in. Impact on community recreation. Beneficiaries, corporations, and the wealthy. Why? Councils reduced spending on sports development and community recreation by 59% per person over the same period. Spending on parks and open spaces decreased by a third. Community centres and public halls faced a 39% cut, and library spend was halved since 2010-11. So you can see, I mean, since the Tories got in 2010, they've launched these austerity measures. Even the United Nations said they were unnecessary and fiscally irresponsible, and also caused unnecessary suffering to people in poor areas, like Gateshead. So anyway, just to summarise, Gateshead Council has faced significant reductions in its block grants funding since 2010. 207.5 million budget cuts over the last 14 years, equivalent to almost 68% of their net revenue budget. Currently, they have £1,050 less to spend per resident compared to 2010. Despite using reserves, they estimate a need for savings of approximately £49.5 million over the next 5 years. So the new devolution deal for the Northeast, this is the new mayor, and this is where a potential solution might come from. The new devolution deal for the Northeast announced on the 28th of December 2023 includes a £1.4 billion investment fund over the next 30 years. The fund is intended to empower the new mayor of the Northeast with money and powers to level up the region, including Gateshead. The deal covers various aspects such as skills, transport, housing, and includes a fund and pot for place-based regeneration across the region. My view is this. I don't know. I haven't seen sight of what the documents are around the stadium. We need to start thinking about a stadium. Well, I know we've been thinking about it, but I'd fail to see where else we can go with this if we're looking to get promoted, unless, of course, something happens with the council, which is highly, highly unlikely given the budget constraints, as we've seen. So anyway, on the Mayor Fund, well, the specifics of how this fund will be allocated are not detailed as yet. It is possible that some of the investment could be made available for projects like a new stadium for Gateshead, should it align with the broader goals of the regional development and economic growth. The decision would ultimately rest with the new mayor and the local councils involved in the devolution deal. So obviously a different sport, but something built recently, the Newcastle Eagles basketball stadium known as the Virtue Motors Arena, was a significant project for the community. The cost and funding details are as followed. Cost $9 million to build. The funding, and this is why I want to show you it, between the Eagles Community Foundation and Newcastle City Council, with contributions from the Northeast Local Enterprise Partnership, Sport England, and Newcastle College. So obviously with links with the college is that potential for exploring these different potential ways to redevelop. I don't know, the fans haven't seen sight of this or don't know what the conversations are behind the scenes. So anyway, this is a recent one. They haven't actually announced how much it is yet, but plans lodged for Sheffield FC and Sheffield Eagles Rugby League Stadium. There's a CGI image of the proposed stadium on the screen. So what it says, the stadium will encompass professional football and rugby league facilities, as well as a cricket pavilion, multi-use artificial sports pitches, a football museum, and an indoor community sports hall. Long-term commercial viability is set to be achieved by maximizing public access and community use through health and well-being activities, educational programs, social and other community events. The proposed 5,000 capacity stadium is designed to meet both Football League and Super League criteria and will enable the clubs to consolidate their full range of sport and educational community and cultural activities on its purpose-built site. In addition to both clubs' men and women's teams, Sheffield Eagles' wheelchair, learning disability and physical disability teams will all be based at the complex, which will allow the club to further develop homegrown talent and provide a base for both clubs' community programmes. Obviously, it's a big ask. We're a small club with a small fan base, but we've won before, and I know this. If we don't try, or at least try and push this forwards, then we cannot win. So we've got to try. Nobody's expecting anybody to have all the answers. And something I want to make clear, like, it's almost an impossible situation, and it's all budgetary. Let's not look to the past or try and apportion blame. There's a lot of energy in the fan base, and I honestly think if we direct that properly, we can actually do great things here. Recriminations and all that waste of time. So anyway, an offer. We have a wealth of talent in the fan base, and this is directed at the board specifically. Nobody's blaming you. Well, I hope not, at least. But what we definitely do need to do is have more transparency. We need to know about this wherever possible, so we can access the wealth of talent in the fan base. I know for a fact there's people who would be willing to help. I myself have just done 2 elected terms on the board of the Independent Media Association. My background, I've worked on community asset transfers, et cetera, et cetera. So that was then, this is now. My offer is this. Co-opt some people onto the board for this period. If you want to know this, how you do it, fill out form AP01. That's for a certain period of time. Because there is a wealth of knowledge, skills, and experience, I myself will donate some time to the club until this period is over and help wherever I can with these type of things. I know that people will do the same. I'd like to see this put out to the entire fan base, where people can put expressions of interest out to help. All the best fan-owned clubs do this. So if we're going to call ourselves that, let's be it, and let's actually access the fan base who are dying to help. But before that, and the most important thing, these lads on that pitch all season, the management, the coaching staff, everybody, they deserve the day at Wembley. They deserve it to be just about that and trying to win that trophy. And that's what we can all rally around as a fan base. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I definitely think there's hope. So over to yous, really. That's the situation. I believe truth's important, and I certainly believe that we can actually not only help the club survive, but actually evolve the club. And sometimes just these things are the best thing that could possibly happen. We've been here worse before. We've been here again. Here we are. But if we all pull together, we'll definitely win. I'm going to be doing some Gateshead-related stuff probably on my wider show, Cow Daily, going forward. So if you want to know more, youtube.com/Cow Daily. Thanks to the Heat Army podcast for giving us the opportunity to detail this for you. And again, anything I can do to help, I'm there. Take it easy.